Welcome to Scripture Studies, a program of Bible study brought to you by the Central Church of Christ. And now, Ben Bailey.
From the Garden of Eden to the present time, sin has been the one thing that has plagued mankind. We read in Romans 3 and verse 23 that no person has ever escaped this disease. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Ezekiel commented on the sad results of sin when he said in Ezekiel 18:4, "The soul who sins shall surely die." And my friends, the saddest part of sin is that it separates us from a holy and loving God. The Bible says in Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2, that the Lord's ear is not heavy that He cannot hear. God doesn't have a hearing problem. His arm's not shortened that He can't reach out and save us. But our sins and our iniquities separate us from a holy God. Paul thought about the sad results of sin when he said in Romans 6, verse 23, "The wages of sin is death." And my friend Solomon, who knew sin very well, commented on its sad results to all people in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20. Notice what Solomon said about sin. The great wise man had these words to say. He said, "For there is not a just man on the earth who does good and does not sin." And so, yes, sin is that perennial problem that has plagued mankind from the Garden of Eden to the very present hour now. But thankfully, that's not the end of the story. Thank goodness that God made a way of salvation so that we can overcome sin. Yes, sin has sad, tragic results, but sin has a remedy. And that remedy is found in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, the Bible says, "God made Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." When Jesus came to the earth, He lived and died, and He gave His life as a sacrifice. He was willing to be the propitiation for our sins. Hebrews 2 and verse 9 says that Jesus tasted death for every man. That death that sin brought, when Jesus died on the cross, Hebrews 2 and verse 14, He through death conquered the one who had power over death, which is the devil. This is why 1 John 2 verses 1 and 2 says that He is that propitiation for our sins, but not for ours alone, but for the sins of the whole world. Look at the way Peter described God's salvation through Christ in 1 Peter 2 and verse 24. Peter, probably considering the words of Isaiah 53 verses 4 and 5, noted this: "Who Himself," Christ, "who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." And so today, as we think about sin's tragic results, we need to understand that the story doesn't end there. God has made a way of forgiveness. That way is found in Jesus, the only way of salvation. Remember Acts 4, verse 12? The Bible says, "Nor is there salvation in any other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." And so, yes, Jesus is the way of salvation. But for a few moments, I want us to think about man's sin and God's forgiveness. I especially want us to note today that the God that we serve, our God, is a forgiving God. You know, when we think about the nature of God, as someone might read the Old Testament, they might see God as vindictive. They might see God as a fearful God, and no doubt He is at times. But friend, the heart and the character of God is steeped in forgiveness. Our God is a very loving and forgiving God. In fact, the Scripture is going to teach us that the God that we serve is ready to forgive. One of the things I love about our God is that He is a God who's ready to forgive His people. God is not a God seen as one who wants to send people to hell. God doesn't want anyone to perish. 2 Peter 3, 9, 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4, but wants all men to be saved. There's a beautiful passage in the book of Psalms that illustrates how our God is ready to forgive. Notice the words of Psalm 86 and verse 5. The Bible says, "For You, Lord, are good," and notice this, "and ready to forgive, and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon You." God is a God who is pictured as one who's ready to forgive. Think about Luke chapter 15. That prodigal son who went away into the far land, who wasted in his inheritance, who lived an ungodly life, found himself in the pig pen wishing he could eat pig slop. He came to his senses. He decided, I'll return to my Father and I'll just beg to be one of His servants. But you remember the picture of God, the Father's forgiveness? He sees that son coming a long ways off. He runs out to greet him. He embraces him. He was ready to forgive the son who sinned. And my friends, that's the picture of God in the Bible. Our God is a forgiving God. I love the words of Psalm 103, verses 10 through 12. The Bible says, the Lord has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who love Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. And so, yes, God wants, He's ready to forgive. I'm reminded of another passage in the book of Psalms. Psalm 130, verses 3 and 4. The Bible says, if you, O Lord, were to mark iniquities, who could stand? Imagine if God had a chalkboard, and every time we sinned, He made a mark. On the day of judgment, who could stand? Why, we would exclaim that none of us could. All of us would be condemned because of our sin. But here's the good part, verse 4. But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. If you, O Lord, were to mark those iniquities, nobody could stand. But there's forgiveness with God that He may be feared. And so realize today, friend, that the God of the Bible, He's ready to forgive. Also, we want you to realize that God is one who wants to forget all our sins. When we talk about the God of Scripture, the God that you read about in the Bible, He wants to forget. He wants to be one who can put sin behind Him. Jeremiah 31, verse 34, quoted in Hebrews 8, verses 12 and 13. The Hebrew writer, thinking about the promise and prophecy of Jeremiah, said this, I'll be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I'll remember no more. Friends, that's the picture we get of God in the Bible. God wants to forget to put our sins behind us. Now, when we say God wants to forget our sins, that doesn't mean that He can't remember them, but rather on the day of judgment, all the sins that I've committed, if I'm a child of God, or if as a Christian I've repented, those things can no longer haunt me. That's the beautiful picture of forgiveness in the Bible. David understood this clearly after his sin with Bathsheba. He said in Psalm 51, verse 2, verse 1, he said, blot out my transgression. He said, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, cleanse me from my sin. That's the picture of God forgetting our sin. He's willing to wash it, to blot it out, where it can no longer haunt us again. God said to the people of His day, or to the people of Isaiah's day, in Isaiah 1, verse 18, come. Let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. What a beautiful picture. A red, stained garment made white as snow. That's the idea of God forgetting all of our sins. And so the God that we see in the Bible, He's ready to forgive. He wants to forget. But I think the long-suffering of our God also proves that He is a forgiving God. All the way back to the time of Numbers 14, verse 18, where the people had been steeped in sin at times, the Bible there says that God, He is long-suffering, gracious, and merciful. But I know our God is long-suffering because of passages like 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. And the Bible says God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's not slow concerning His promises, as some count slowness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. How do we know that our God is a long-suffering and forgiving God? Here's how. Just stand in front of the mirror and look at yourself. The very fact that God has given each of us, sinners, a second chance is proof of His forgiving nature and His long-suffering character. But also know that God is a long-suffering God, a forgiving God, because God, in His infinite wisdom and mercy, made a plan steeped in His love, a plan that is built upon the love of God. Think about the words of Romans 5, verses 6 through 8. The Bible says that while we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Scarcely for a righteous man one might die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But listen to this. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Friends, when we were in our worst state you can imagine, when humanity was in sin, that's when God's Son came to this world to die for us. And so God's forgiveness is seen in the fact that he was willing to make a way of escape. Think about the beautiful words of John chapter 3 in verse 16. You want to see the forgiveness of God? Here it is. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. My friend, if that's not love, if that's not forgiveness, what is? Think about what Jesus had. John 17, verse 3. Jesus prayed to the Father, "Restore to me that which we've had from all eternity." That closeness, that oneness. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. They were there from eternity together, and yet He gave all that up. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, John will say. Friends, that's the love of God, the forgiveness that we see in God. But as we think about God's forgiveness, we can also know that our God is a forgiving God by some clear-cut examples in Scripture. I'm thankful that we have the Bible because not only does it tell us about God's great wisdom, but the Bible shows us people who sinned and were forgiven. And we need that. We need people today who we can relate to, who we can say, well, this person in Scripture has done something similar and God was willing to forgive them, and so He's willing to forgive me. Let me give you some examples that I think will encourage us today. David, I believe, is a prime example of a person who was forgiven from his sin. Notice Psalm 51, verses 1 and 2. David said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Now, what's the background to Psalm 51, verses 1 and 2? It's clearly a penitent passage. David is weeping for his sin and praying for God's forgiveness. You've got to understand that this is found in 2 Samuel. The background is found in 2 Samuel 11 and 12. David, at a time when kings usually went out to war, was up on the rooftop. And he sees beautiful Bathsheba bathing nude in the water. He looks down upon her and he lusts after her. And so he says within his heart that he would take her. He gets Bathsheba, takes her to be his own, has relations with her. And then come to find out he also kills her husband Uriah. Uriah, one of his great servants. He places him on the front line, tells one of his princes to draw back and make sure in the heat of battle that you draw back from him. So you've got adultery, you've got murder, you've got an illegitimate child who was born from that. David was found in sin in this context, a great sin. Nathan comes to him, tells him this tender story, and he eventually admits, "I've sinned." But you know what? I'm thankful that the example of David's in the Bible. Because, my friends, David was still a friend of God. Even though he had sinned, even though he had done wrong, he was able to repent and make that right.